Welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hi, and welcome, people, to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the undarkened corridors of power and shine a light ahead of us up to the path where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center to face the music and dance together, to address problems rather than defend positions. We have another purpose as well, and that is to provide context at a time when content can be contradictory, confusing, and overwhelming. There's a saying that dates back at least to the origins of the feminist movement: the personal is the political. Never has that been more true than today, when political activity and fear is fueled by appeals to our unconscious mind and inner brain. My colleague and co-author Bruce Lipton says that only 5% of our activity is governed by the conscious mind, and that means that 95% of how we act and how we react is a function of our subconscious. If you read Spontaneous Evolution, there's a section called Weapons of Mass Distraction that tells the story of Edward Bernays, who is a nephew of Sigmund Freud, father of public relations, author of the very appropriately titled book, Propaganda. He was a pioneer in what we euphemistically call manufactured consent. So in these times, the phrase fake news is one of those mind-manipulating memes, and the most effective way to diabolically undermine any system is to make sure people can't tell real news from fake news. That way, they're going to fall in with whatever their tribe tells them is true. So I think it's fair to assume that pretty much all the news that we get from mainstream media is smeared with what we call Bernays sauce. Well, no wonder so many people who can envision what Charles Eisenstein calls the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible are disheartened and alarmed by the more ugly world the current political order is making possible. Well, we're in luck, because our guests this week, Barry and Gayla Gordon, are lifetime students of consciousness, energy medicine, and our true human potential. And they're going to help us sort through some of the ways that that our minds have been tweaked, and ways that we can actually gain mastery over our own minds, so that we have a sense of peace and equanimity as we navigate these very challenging times. Barry Gordon is a physicist. He's a metaphysicist, feng shui master, and senior Buddhist teacher at the Tibetan Chinese Bon tradition, and the Tibetan Chinese Bon, B-O-N tradition. And he's also an advanced energy psychology coach. Gayla Gordon is a creative visionary. She's also a feng shui master. She's a Sufi chiraga, doctor of divinity, minister of mirth, I can relate to that, and advanced energy psychology coach. They're both world travelers who have studied and immersed themselves in a variety of spiritual traditions. Barry also is a former U.S. Navy officer whose near-death experience as a diver transformed his life and has given him the tools to help others who have PTSD. Our conversation today is not going to only address our current political crisis. It's going to offer us creative ways to take advantage of the political and spiritual opportunities that these times offer us. We're also going to examine ways to reprogram your own hidden brain. We'll talk more about the hidden brain. resolve inner conflicts and move beyond hopelessness and helplessness to find our own purpose and power. So that says a lot. I'm looking forward to conversation. Welcome, Barry, and welcome, Gayla.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. We're happy to be here.
Good.
You know, when you said lifetime of spiritual and psychological investigation and growth, actually, I'm 76 and Gayla's 78, and we started in the 1960s on this path. So we have a lot of years behind us in this.
Well, you know, the Taoists say that the first 72 years of life are to gather all of this information, and then we will require that second 72 years so that we can apply it without having to reincarnate. So wishing you at least another 70 more years each.
No, I think the Tao is down today, actually. But
I'm not up on the Tao, but you may be. Okay, anyway. Now, given the fact that both of you are lifelong spiritual practitioners, you've cultivated a number of Eastern systems of being and knowing, how does your experience reflect on our current political, and again, the new word, situation? And how can something as seemingly esoteric as, let's say, feng shui or these Eastern practices help us move our collective political energy in a healing direction?
Well, as my grandmother would say, oy vey. So,
and I'll second that motion.
Right. So there we go. So the we have to consider, what's the problem? How do we generate this problem? Because we're all in this soup together.
Well, it's an overpopulation soup, and that is a problem.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
Because as Gayla mentioned in one of her recent emails, when you put mice into a wonderful environment.
Plenty of, you know, what would normally be a great environment, supportive with, you know, enough food and this and that and the other thing. But if there's overpopulation, they start attacking each other. They become sociopathic. Yeah.
So that's a very deep, unconscious conditioning that all animals have, and we're animals.
Right.
So we have that, but we don't know we have that. We don't know that that's causing our actions. I don't quite agree with Bruce Lipton at 95%. I think it's more like 99% unconscious. There's a lot of
it
good
science. It
certainly
seems that way today. Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? And there's actually some really good science behind that that shows that our conscious minds are not aware of our decisions actually until about 5 or 6 microseconds before our brain makes them. So our brain is making these decisions for us based, of course, on our unconscious conditioning. And then we're aware of them. So this is the spiritual beginning part of it, is that we really are witnesses to a kind of a robot or homunculus. That's, I don't know if I pronounced that right, within us that is actually acting out. But we have been seriously and deeply conditioned to believe that we are the actor. So,
yeah, that we're responsible.
Right.
And if we do something wrong, we're guilty. And none of that is true. We're not to blame anybody. Nobody is to blame. Even Trump's not to blame, by the way. It's all based on his conditioning and his prenatal programming and epigenetics and everything else that goes into creating a human being.
So this is essentially a pretty deterministic idea that basically we are here to A, either be witnesses, or B, to be witnesses, and the level of freedom that we have is how we respond to these things that happen.
Can I say something there?
Yeah.
So the level of freedom you have is determined by your degree of what I would call open awareness or free attention. So, you know, and it's one of the reasons that the mindfulness movement is really growing in this country and perhaps all over the world, because it's through the process of mindfulness which is a process of stepping back and realizing that you're the witness. It's a process of moving back into a pure state of awareness. And in that state, noticing the stream of experience that's flowing through that awareness. And in that place, you can realize that it's not you. Once you realize that it's not you and that everyone else is in that same boat, that same experience of being the witness to some kind of robotic energy that's actually in their body, and that their body and their personality is within that awareness, once that's realized, that begins the development of compassion. Because
and I understand that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And wisdom. Yeah.
Right.
And wisdom. And compassion.
So in other words, say more about how that creates compassion.
So first we're taught that we're responsible. Once we realize that we're not actually responsible for our past, I'm not saying we're not responsible for our future. But we're not responsible for our past. And of course, the present moment is gone before you're there. You know, as a thinking being, the present moment is going by much faster than you can think. So the only thing that we can be responsible for is the future. How do we do that?
Yes.
Well, we have to develop free attention, open awareness. We have to, in that free attention and open awareness, have the wisdom to understand what's actually appropriate or inappropriate to minimize suffering and increase happiness for everyone. And in that place, we also realize that, well, if everybody else is like this, they're not responsible either for their past or what they're doing in the present moment. They're responsible for their future. Can I help them do that? But it takes me out of the
shame and blame.
And
yeah.
guilt.
Mm-hmm. And so you're not only not blaming and shaming yourself anymore for, oh, if only I, or I don't deserve, or I'm not good enough, or any of those typical things that people suffer from, but you're also not blaming anybody else. Like, you can't even blame Trump, actually, when it comes right down to it.
You know, a friend of mine and a brilliant neurolinguistic programming teacher, Carl Buckheit, has a favorite phrase that I've enjoyed: give up all hope for a better past.
There you go. That's perfect. That's perfect. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, that's really good. I hope we can steal that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can use it. Just give Carl credit, or I think he takes cash too. But anyway.
Is it Carl Buckheit?
You can email
Carl with a C. Carl with a C. Buchheit. And he's his book is called Transformational NLP.
Oh,
very helpful book, by the way. So this is interesting, because in so many ways it flies in the face of so much activism, where people feel so concerned and so responsible,
right,
that I know people that lose sleep who
right,
who just give up all the rest of their life to try to quote unquote save the world. What about this? Is this faulty thinking? What about that?
Well, usually thinking is faulty. No, I think that's what the faulty towers is really about. So, because thoughts are, there's a Tibetan saying that thoughts are like writing in water or making footprints in the sky. So,
yes.
But we've been conditioned to think and not feel, and we've been conditioned to be in our brain, but not our heart.
And to solve problems with logic as opposed to intuition.
And that's actually one of the problems with the Democrats. Democrats tend to be rational, and they can't even accept that people are motivated. George Lakoff is the only one who he's been trying to teach Democrats how to actually communicate with people, but they're not listening. So,
that's their job, by the way, is to not listen. The Democrats have, poor George Lakoff. I love the guy. He's been talking into the wind for 30 years, and the Democrat seems to have taken on the job of not listening to him.
Because George Lakoff is an expert on the hidden brain. He's really mastered the science of the hidden brain. And most people, I mean, I had a hard time with this when I first realized it. We're so trained not to admit that we're not in charge, that our logical thinking is not in charge.
Yeah, and we don't want to give up that because that, you know, that's the only so-called control we have is, you know, I mean, we spend a lifetime trying to figure out, you know, what political party we want to be part of, what religion, which car we should be buying, you know, what color should we paint our house, you know, whatever. We're in charge, right? And so we spend our lifetime developing a very high sense of aesthetics and, you know, what we think is awareness and a commitment to our, what we've designed to be the package of our personality and who we are and how we express ourselves. And so we feel very, very protective of that because we've developed it and worked on it and decided it in like, oh, my mother believed in this, but I believe in that. And, you know, you go through all these traumas to disengage from one thing and then to adhere to another. And here we are, and this is who we are, and we've gotten here by trial and error, and so we're sticking to it and fighting for it, and, you know, we put up our life to defend it.
That's right.
And what does it amount to, really?
Yeah, it's very true. Indeed. It's that people will defend. We're going to come back after this break, and we're going to talk more about the hidden brain and how to reveal what needs to be revealed so that we actually face our issues with equanimity. We'll be back after this message.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Well, hi, this is Steve Behrman. I'm back, and we're talking with Barry and Gayla Gordon. I'm going to change the subject a little bit and go back into history. Barry, you have a really interesting story about a near-death experience you had while you were in the U.S. Navy. Tell us about that and how it has impacted your life and perspective moving forward from that.
Well, I often wonder if I actually came back, and this just isn't a bardo. I was a naval officer, a lieutenant in the Navy. I actually joined the Navy, and they put me through college, and I was there for a career. And so I was in Vietnam, and I was on my first diving mission in Vietnam, and I had equipment failure. So I'm not going to go into all the little details, but I was without air, and I tried everything, you know, and nothing seemed to work. So then I realized I was going to be leaving. And it's really interesting, you know, first of all, underwater, you know, is such a peaceful place. It's very meditative diving. So I was in a really open place under the water, and I just kind of went into, oh, I guess I'm going to leave. This is going to be a new adventure, you know. And I went into a dark space, and then the light started to, you know, I went towards the light, and a voice came in and said, it's not your time. You can't go. You have to go back. Well, you know, I'm Jewish, so I didn't want to go back, so I started arguing. And, you know, we're good at arguing, right? So
we are. We're very good.
Very good.
Arguably, we are the best at it.
No, I'm better than you. So, I guess there was like an exchange, maybe four or five, six times, you know, and I lost. And so I gradually came back into my body. So I was in this, you know, bodiless state, but still conscious. I was still a conscious being, you know, and I came back into my body, and I actually knew how to save myself at that point, and I did. I don't actually know how long I was without oxygen. So that experience created some kind of big psychic opening in me. So when I got back up on the ship, I could actually hear other people thinking, which if you know anything about the Navy and the kind of thoughts naval personnel have, that was the most comfortable experience in the world. So I had to gradually learn to turn that off. But it left me so open psychically, and it also convinced me that there's no such thing as death. Because I had definitely left my body. I was not dependent on my body to be conscious. So I went from there, and I got into studying Kriya Yoga, Yogananda's Kriya Yoga, and Aikido, and all different kinds of spiritual and paths, you know, mostly yoga and Aikido. And then that just kept developing.
You went to India and lived in India for two years.
Yeah,
right. Became a yogi.
And of course, I had PTSD from Vietnam. I was there three times. I did three tours. I finally resigned because I didn't think I was going to live through the next one. And then I went to India to heal, really. And then I spent many years learning how to do the things I do to heal my own PTSD, because there wasn't any help from anybody. In fact, the VA didn't even believe in it, right? So I developed a whole way of working with myself and other people over the years.
And studied NLP,
right.
And Ericksonian hypnosis and EFT and all of the things that are now, you know, kind of everybody knows about it. But in those days, they were new technologies.
And I also became very metaphysical and got involved. Well, after the yoga, I got very involved in the Tibetan tradition, and then the kind of a tradition that's a combination of Tibetan and Chinese. It's called the Mizong Heijiao, which is it means like secret, it means a black sect, secret Buddhism in Chinese. And and so I'm a senior teacher in that tradition, which is very kind of magical and shamanic as well as Buddhist. So I use those techniques with clients also, because what's really required is a way to communicate with the deep unconscious, because that's where the problems are. And it's not just... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, keep going, because I want to hear more about this. I also want to hear how, you know, let's get a little bit more into how we begin to access this this hidden brain. And I think you've hinted at it. I mean, all of these practices that are very non-intellectual, they're not really about something, they're actually immersion. I mean, certainly the near-death experience you had, yeah, there's no, there's a difference between reading about it and going through it. So you've been through some transformational experience. Obviously, you were able to hear other people's thoughts when you were done with that. Let's take that, and Gayla as well. We haven't heard much about your background. I know you've traveled the world and met famous and not famous spiritual teachers. So how now, given your lifetime until now experience of these ways and means, how do we begin to access this hidden brain and you know, begin to communicate with it successfully?
Well, it's not like flipping a switch. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to access it and walk in the other room and turn on the switch. It's just not going to work that way. And the biggest problem with accessing the switch is the fact that every one of us has disassociated parts, and the hidden brain is disassociated. But we don't even know. I mean, some problems are obvious. Some people, you know, we know if we've got issues in certain areas of our life, or if we're very reactive and triggered by certain circumstances in our life, that's obvious to us, and maybe we would like to find a way to fix it. But beyond that is the whole enormous, beyond enormous hidden, it's hidden brain is too simple to say it that way. I mean, that's what it is, but it's so many disassociated parts. And frankly, I mean, Barry and I have been working on ourselves with all of these teachings and initiations and lineages and blessings that we've received since the 60s. And we're still working on ourselves on a daily basis. It's not like you just arrive at a place and say, okay, now I've got access to my hidden brain and that all is well and good. It's a lot better, a lot better for sure. But I don't think this process ever ends until we reach either some kind of la-la land or, you know, or lasting samadhi. I mean, I've had samadhi experiences, but here I am, and I still get triggered by certain things. Not as much as before, thank goodness. Life is a lot better. Life is a lot better than it used to be, and it will get better and better on a daily basis. But, you know, when you're working on yourself, it does get better and better and better. And pretty soon you wake up and you find out that there's synchronicities in your life on a daily basis and serendipity in your life. And, I mean, it really does help to do the work. It really helps a lot, and it's really a practical benefit, because happiness comes and relationships last and prosperity is more accessible and so many things. I mean, you know, sociopaths get a lot of prosperity, but they don't do it in a way that is usually helpful to others except for their own individual self. But you can be really compassionate and really successful in the world at the same time, and it's, thank goodness for that. And Barry wants to say something about our book, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, because I also want to say something about, you brought up for me the idea of how people think about transcendence, and it's the opposite of what should be done.
Yeah, go ahead. Do that first one.
So Gela brought up something I think is very important. Is many spiritual traditions are, at least the way that people read them or believe in them, are centered around an idea of transcendence. And that idea is very dangerous because people don't understand it. They think transcendence, well, it's a way of being out of your body.
And meditation, too. I mean, people do lots and lots of meditations to rise above their problems. But then when they come out of the meditation, the problems are still there.
That's right. And Gene Houston said that transcendence really means ending the trance. You know. So
yeah.
And the first thing the Buddha did in his after his enlightenment was touch the earth. It took me years to understand that. Why did he touch the earth? That's because I didn't understand about being in my body fully. You know, he was saying, be here now. And Gela actually lived with Ram Dass quite a while. So he was saying, be here now in your body on the earth. There's no enlightenment without being here now in your body on the earth. It's never about transcendence. The hidden brain is not really the problem, because the brain is not the problem, because the brain really is more like a system of valves. You can think of it that way. That's filtering our experience of the cosmos. The cosmos is full of an unlimited, infinite number of possible experiences, and our brains are designed to filter those. They get conditioned as we grow up to filter them, to filter all that experience that's coming in, and create an experience that feels safe to us. So the unconscious part of the brain, what we're calling the hidden brain, is not safe to us because it contains all of our pain and suffering, all of the wounds, all of the traumas that we've had through our life. And so there's an automatic conditioning. The brain, the subconscious mind is conditioned to protect you from yourself, from your own pain. And so we dissociate, as Gela said. And that dissociation keeps us out of the pain, at least it looks that way to us. But the dissociations manifest in a different way. So there's really no inside or outside. So when we're stuffing, dissociating, putting all that energy into our unconscious and not allowing it to express, our unconscious communicating through what we call our higher self creates those experiences metaphorically out in the world as if they're coming to us from the world. They're actually a mirror of how we think and feel, our attitudes, beliefs, emotions, imaginations that are internal and unconscious to us. So this is actually what our book is based on, and there's some very important concepts in this book about how to access this. And one of the big concepts is that I was working for a long time with people who felt cursed. And of course, in that process, I really realized that that their feeling of curse, being cursed, was something that they were holding. It was not caused by the outside curse. They were inviting the curse. They were creating the curse, but of course, completely unconscious about that. And that's because every time someone has put you down, diminished you, belittled you, made you feel smaller, made you feel wrong or guilty or shamed you, that's a curse. When you're small, when you're an infant, when you're growing up, before you're really a person, which takes about 7 years, the more that happens, the more your subconscious mind is conditioned into that cursed state. And that invites a cursed life. But of course, because of dissociation, we don't know that we're actually calling that to us. So we developed a whole program for people really to work through in our book. And people have said, even, you know, normally you actually need help to do this kind of work, any kind of spiritual work. It's why people have gurus and teachers and coaches and therapists, because when you get to the dissociated energies, the very nature of dissociation means that you're not going to find them yourself. You have to have someone else help you to not only just find them, but also to be able to stay focused on them long enough to experience that they're not real anymore. They no longer exist in the present moment. They were that past you were talking about that you actually can change. So, I don't know. What you want to say? I think I just finished.
Well, I'd like to say the name of my book is Scientific Shamanic Healing. And we started writing it. It was originally called How to Remove Curses,
right?
Because, Barry had 15,000 people a month coming to him
on the website
asking for help. And no human being can help 15,000 people a month. So we decided, okay, well, we'll have to, find a way to give self-help that people can access without us being there. So that's why we started writing the book, but then it developed into so much more. And I mean, it's got a chapter on addictions and relationships, how to make relationships lasting, as opposed to, getting into a relationship based on chemistry that usually doesn't last. And so many practical things in this book, and it is based on science, and it's got shamanic exercises, which you can do yourself. And to us, the word shamanic means accessing energy that will create results profoundly beyond what could ordinarily be expected by any practice to heal any situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, pretty much. There are two ways to work with yourself. There's a science actually called memory reconsolidation. I hope we're still on because the computer just went.
Yeah, we are. We are.
There's a science called memory. I think we're going to have a break right now. I shouldn't start this.
Yeah, it's called memory reconciliation. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break.
Reconsolidation.
Okay, good. Okay, well, you'll have to wait until after the break to have your memories reconsolidated. Folks, we'll be back in about 2 minutes, if we can find it. And we'll be back with Barry and Gayla Gordon and be talking about how to uncover and relate to the hidden brain.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network, presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back with Gary, with Barry and Gayla Gordon, and we're going to be talking about memory reconsolidation of our liquid memories. And but we're also, I really want to talk about how people can use this now in times when people are feeling very endangered by our current by the tremendous changes that we're undergoing. So first, Barry, why don't you complete your thought about the memory reconsolidation? And then we can go on to talk about how people can be much more empowered during these times.
Okay, so the nervous system has a built-in feedback network that was discovered through this science called memory reconsolidation. It's actually a science that was the investigations were done on physical nervous systems of animals, and including even crabs. It's really interesting research if people want to read about it. They can look up memory reconsolidation online. And so this research discovered the process by which the nervous system changes and lets go of past conditioning. It's very simple. And if once you understand it, you'll see that all the other systems, no matter how complex they are really based on these simple rules. So the simple rules are that first you have to uncover the implicit unconscious emotional schema that are driving the behavior that you want to eliminate. Then you have to focus on that underlying schema and not the behavior, but the underlying understanding that is creating it. You focus on that as you're living your life. And during that focus in your present life, your consciousness, your brain will realize that the situation that created that emotional schema is no longer valid, and actually it automatically disintegrates the conditioning at the synaptic level. So this is a process in which instead of trying to counteract the conditioning that you have, like with something like cognitive therapy, which I have to say doesn't really work, instead of trying to counteract, you're actually transforming. It's transformative. The conditioning transforms into emptiness, and those synapses are then open for new conditioning or no conditioning. So it's a simple process. Those rules, those three rules, really are like a fractal equation that defines all healing. You have to really get to the root of the problem, and you have to In most healing, what people do is they have a problem, they try to understand it, they go to someone who is going to help them, and if they really believe that person is going to help them, which is not necessarily conscious, because placebo works even if you know it's a placebo, so they go to someone, and or they find a method that they somehow unconsciously believe is going to help them, and they practice that, and then it works. Because of the whole of the process. So it's really simple. And you can break down any healing process into these simple steps.
But it's not simple to do it for yourself.
No.
Because, first of all, finding the problem, what most people think is the problem is only the surface of the problem. It's not the conditioning that creates the problem.
Right.
So that's when, having an outsider with some experience,
training,
it is excruciatingly. That's the wrong word.
That's the wrong word. I think. Yeah. But it's
helpful.
So important.
Yeah, Helpful.
So let me ask you something about all that. Are you saying then that when you're able to, through this process, bring the original thing in the past that created this way of this frame on the world, let's say, when that's brought to consciousness in a way through cognitive awareness, just simply being aware of that is enough to blank out to dissolve the charge on that memory and create the possibility for reprogramming.
It creates the possibility. So the third step is that the brain has to realize that the conditioning is no longer needed. So, and so there are many different therapies can work with this method. You know, there's not just one, but all of the energy psychology techniques really work with this method. And there are other techniques that do.
I want to get to a different bottom line in relation to what many of the people, again, we travel around the country, we see people who are aware of things like families being separated at the border, the general heartlessness of things these days, the environmental crises, the crisis of truth, of integrity, and all of these things. And really our system essentially falling apart. What do you suggest for people to be able to personally navigate these changes without going into denial or premature transcendence? How do you go through these things and manage to keep your sanity and equanimity, if that's possible?
Well, we can only change ourselves. We can't really change other people, except that there's a concept called the morphic field.
Yeah. Rupert Sheldrake, yes, indeed.
Rupert Sheldrake, right. And originally, I think it was Rudolf Steiner that came up with the idea. And the morphic field is the field that contains all the possibilities of who we are. It's containing
memes.
Right. It's containing memes. And it's what our creation comes out of. It's kind of very Platonic if you think about it. And so as each person changes themselves, they're actually changing that morphic field. And the morphic field encompasses all human beings and all life on Earth and the Earth itself. And of course, the universe. And so every time that we're making a change, we are affecting everybody else.
But it's such a heavy, the morphic field right now is such a heavy, wet blanket that it feels like whatever we do, all the Ho'oponopono and all the blessings we're putting out there feels like a butterfly flapping its wings trying to change a tornado. And you know, that can leave one feeling rather hopeless, but you just have to do it anyway. I mean, what else can you do? So if you change your own perspective and reality and keep putting your compassion and your joy and your humor and your, you know, you're punching holes in the wet blanket and letting a little ray of sunshine come through. So the more of us that do that, the better off we'll all be. Now, I don't know if we can really eradicate the situation that we have in this world of overpopulation. I mean, we're not controlling it. We're not handing out birth control. We're not like the Chinese limiting the number of people.
I think they're stopping even.
Even the Chinese are stopping that. And so, you know, we are continuing to overpopulate and, you know, we don't want a devastating war that's going to wipe us all out. But who knows what's going to happen? And that's not really up to each any one of us as an individual. All we can be responsible for is our own contribution. And the more of us that have more love and compassion and wisdom and can help some others to follow in those footsteps, hopefully, and write books about it, and, you know, make it available, give people hope for themselves, at least to have more compassion and love for themselves and for their family and for their friends, and even for the people like Trump, for example, who, you know, are the antithesis of.
Let me say something about
that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's really easy to get angry at the Trump.
That's for sure.
You know, and that's what he wants. He wants you to be angry at him. He's feeding off of that anger. That anger really supports him. As long as you're angry and upset and feeling hopeless and all those things, he wins. What he represents wins. He's just a representation for something. Remember, it's all energy, and he happens to be the metaphorical representation in that energy in an ocean of consciousness that represents what we would – you and I, and people on this show, I'm sure, would call the dark side. So, and the dark side and the light side, you know, because we do Chinese, you know, Taoist philosophy, the dark side and the light side, yin and yang, they always arise together. And the only way to heal that kind of condition is to step out of the relationship. To not step, what does that mean, stepping out of the relationship? That means that you don't have emotional reactions to Donald Trump. You see him for who he is, and you let yourself stay in your heart and in your love and in your compassion and wisdom.
And it's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault. It's not anyone's fault. That's the thing. It's a story that's, you know, Shakespeare said all the world's a stage and we're but actors on it. And I mean, he was a spiritual genius. You know, it's really true. But it doesn't mean that we can't change our parts. You know, we don't have to accept the part we were given. We can actually take on a new part. And
say more about that. That's an interesting idea. So a certain part has been written for us in the play, probably through our programming, you would say.
Right.
How does one – do you feel like you changed your parts, or were you – in a certain way, born to do what you've done for the last 70-something years, or both?
Okay, so, you know, it's not an either-or. It's a both-and. So I have changed myself tremendously. If you knew me when I was a military officer, I was a totally different person than I am now. And every day I work on myself.
If you knew him last year, he's a different person.
Right. And the same for Dayla, really.
It's true.
You know, because this work is so important. You know, and I have to work on myself because that's the only way the world's going to change.
That's the only way our relationship, the world is going to change.
Right.
The world may not change. We have to be clear about that. The world may not change. I mean, I don't know if it's going to or not. I don't know if the world will even be here in the near future. I mean, you know, we don't have control over that. What we have control over is ourselves and our relationship to the world, whether it changes or not.
And it's possible to, no matter what's happening, develop the ability to stay in yourself and in your heart, and to be grounded. Being grounded is so important. To be grounded, heartfelt, compassionate, and have the wisdom. Now, I don't care who you are, because you can even see with these great gurus who come around, because Gail and I have spent lots of time with them, they're not perfect either, you know? They have great enlightenment experiences, but they also are still human, just like us. And so you find all kinds of controversies around them too, even though they may be very enlightened people. So I'm not saying that, you know, you have to become perfect like that, you know? It's a process. But the more
– Go ahead. We have a couple minutes left.
The more that we decide to do that, to make that decision and to hold that decision and to have other people – it takes community. That's why the Buddha always wanted people to have Sangha. It takes community to keep us conscious. You really can't become enlightened or grow or develop yourself on your own only. It happens in relationship.
Yeah, that's why relationships even, you know, bring up things. That's why, you know, you can think you're doing great in the world. You get in a relationship and all of a sudden, you know, everything, you know, you find yourself fighting or whatever. I mean, we're past that now, thank goodness. But we had our roots in the beginning, right?
Actually, there's only, we did. We don't have very many anymore, just once in a while.
Yeah.
So I see we're getting near the end. So I'd actually like to just give a link for the book, because if people would read the book, they'll really understand what we're talking about. And the techniques are in there that you can start working on yourself.
Oh, yeah, self-help. And by the way, the book is not in print right now because it has over 100 right brain activating illustrations in it. And, you know, you can read all these books on psychology and it's all left brain and that's fine. But right brain, truthfully, it's still true that a picture is worth 1,000 words, and we've got over 100 pictures in here. The book itself right now is available as a PDF or an ebook.
And where can they find it?
ScientificShamanicHealing.com.
And it's only $9.59, which is a magical number.
Right.
And there's a whole chapter.
Wow.
Scientific.
I wish we had another hour. to delve into this. We will have the link to the book on our WikiPolitiki archive page for this show. Gayla and Barry Gordon, thank you so much for your insights and for giving people deep perspective on what's going on now and how they can navigate these times. This is Steve Behrman, WikiPolitiki. We'll catch you next week.